The Crossbreed Holster Studios.
What kind of person possesses no means to defend either himself or his family?
Annoying, gun-grabbing liberals from coast to coast.
You know, what do they need all those bullets for?
He's the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.
No caveman in his right mind would have ever left his cave without his club.
This is Armed American Radio.
Now, your host, Mark Walters.
Wow, the Crossbreed Holster Studios are lit up for you today. How the heck are you doing? What an incredible week this has been. Good heavens to Betsy. Whew, freedom never takes a break, that much I can tell you. Lots to go over with you today in what is just the fastest hours of radio. We're going to provide you as much information as we possibly can. We have an amazing guest lineup today. Two guests, but they're the best at what they do. Let me put it that way. A couple things jumped out at me. First off, I loved this story. Olympics. Are any of you watching the Olympics? NBC's catching all kinds of flack. Yeah, you know, should have never been in Rio. Should have been in Chicago, right? Rio might be cleaner. Rio might even be safer than Chicago, right? Based on some of those Chicago numbers, I'll let you know what some of those numbers are, too. But let me start here with you with this one today on the Monster Show. Rio Olympics, America's first gold medal. You know who it went to? It went to a good girl with the gun. I don't want to steal any of AWR Hawkins' thunder from Breitbart News because he's going to be joining me in the next hour of the program for the full hour. We have a lot to talk about. The two of us with you today. We spent a good portion of the weekend together, AWR and myself did, at the Georgia Kerry Convention. More about that. But Virginia Ginny Thrasher, a good girl with a gun, beat out Chinese Olympians in the 10-millimeter air rifle competition. So that begs the following question. The first thing I thought of was, yay for her, good for her. That was America's first gold medal in the 2016 Games, and it went to a shooter. So I wondered immediately, this thought crossed my mind, will Obama welcome her and praise her performance with a gun? Will he invite her to the White House, like NBA, NFL, and other stars, sports stars? And what kind of conversation would that be when the world's number one gun grabber is going to be forced to talk about her winning the first medal for America in a shooting competition? And there's a lot of talk about what's happening in California and how difficult it is for the Olympians now with all these boneheaded, petri dish, liberal, progressive, socialist background checks for ammunition and everything else. We're going to talk about that in, throughout this hour with Dr. John Lott. We'll get to John Lott in just a moment. The book, The War on Guns, amazing stuff. But bear with me for just a second there. I've got an email here to lead into Dr. Lott that I thought was fitting here. Got this on the 5th. It says, Mark, I've been listening to your program for about 7 months and enjoy it greatly. Have emailed you before about a Bernie Sanders rally of which I had to attend for work. You hear that? Which I had to attend for work? Wow, that's crazy, isn't it? Anyway, I ordered John Lott's book yesterday, and looking at the reviews on Amazon from the anti-gunners / socialists were hysterical. My local paper ran a story about Sheriff David Clark's interview on Fox News last week, and how wrong he was and the false information he put out. They repeated the quote-unquote Kool-Aid propaganda from our socialist president that the sheriff destroyed in that interview. I couldn't stand it. I wrote a letter to the editor today stating to check the numbers themselves. Doubt it will happen, though, as the local paper is obviously under a certain party control. I am not one to speak out like this, but you have definitely inspired me to start not only to the local paper, but my Democratic I Love My Guns co-workers. While I am a proud union, full-time, and I won't mention his profession, for the past 20 years, I am not about to cast my vote based on that allegiance. My fellow workers talk about the potential financial effect, on us if the Republicans win. I ask them, what about their constitutional rights if the Democrats win? Of course, the answer I hear is that the Democrats do not want to take away anybody's rights. Monetary gain means nothing if you have no rights. I proudly served in the military for 11 years, and my first and foremost allegiance is to the Constitution and this country. I can only hope there are enough of us in this country come November to make them, quote-unquote, feel the burn, so to say. Thanks for your program. Keep it up, because I listen to you on duty after work hours, and it makes some people upset. who overhear it. And that's from Tom in central Wisconsin. Tom, you know, when we say at the beginning of the program, annoying the gun-grabbing liberals from coast to coast, you are proof positive, my friend, that that statement is, in fact, accurate. Thank you for the email. Thank you for having a sense of common sense and understanding what, in fact, is at stake for this election and for the rest of this nation. And I, boy, that said, that pretty much said it all. Tom, was a great email, and I do appreciate that very much. And you also mentioned ordering Dr. Lott's book. Well, I can tell you a little bit about that book because I've read it now almost three times through the book. At this point, I'm just going through it now for notes. I've read it twice, and I'm going through it for notes. And I want to start out, before I go to Dr. Lott, with, I've got to switch my glasses here. Gosh, I hate when I have to do that. Computer glasses, regular glasses, good heavens. But that's okay. The book is The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. Of course, that's by Dr. John Lott, a great friend of mine, this program, and your friend. I can promise you that much. Also the author of More Guns, Less Crime in its third edition. And I can tell you definitively this is the best work Dr. Lott's done, in my opinion. In my opinion. Because this book you can apply in your daily life to normal conversations that you might find yourself having, just like letter writer Tom in central Wisconsin does with his fellow union members, and he bought the book. So, you know, don't just take it from me. Take it from Tom in Wisconsin who understands this. Let me tell you a little bit about what the book is here just by reading a passage to you, then we're going to bring Dr. Lott in. Chapter 11 of this book, Bathtubs and Motor Vehicle Regulations. Debbie is a mom from Uxbridge, Massachusetts. She was in the examination room when the pediatrician asked her 5-year-old, "Does Daddy own a gun?" When the little girl said yes, the doctor began grilling her and her mom about the number and types of guns, how they are stored, etc. If the incident had ended there, it would have merely been annoying. But Debbie got mad when a friend in law enforcement told her that the doctor had filed a report with the police about her family's entirely legal gun ownership. Maybe this doctor should have asked about the family bathtubs instead of the family guns. Because according to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, CPSC, 346 children under age 5 drowned in bathtubs between 2006 and 2010. By contrast, only 94 children under 5 died from accidental gunshots over the same period. That is a difference of nearly a factor of 4. In fact, more children under 5 died from drowning in bathtubs than children under 10 or even under 15 from accidental gunshots, 167 and 291 respectively. Of course, no one would advocate getting rid of bathtubs. Bathtubs do create a possibility of drowning, but cleanliness is also important. A similar trade-off exists for guns. Some accidents do happen. But guns also protect law-abiding people from death or injury. This is the rationale that fills this book, page after page after page. So, having said that, let me welcome John Lott to the program today. John, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here on the Weekend Monster broadcast being heard in hundreds of cities across the country. Great to have you here again, John. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate you taking the time to read the book almost 3 full times.
Yeah, well, I'm using it for work. This has become my newest textbook. And I have to, for those of you who listen to the daily program on Friday, you heard the two of us talk together about the book. Now, there may be some redundancy in that, but that's not a bad thing. Because if you haven't yet gone out to buy the book like I asked you to, you need to hear this over and over and over again. We're going to go in a couple different directions, but you might hear the same thing. Of course, the daytime show being heard in about 30 cities across the country, 30 stations in dozens of cities across the country, as opposed to this program being heard in hundreds of cities across the country on just under 200 radio stations. So you might hear a little bit of redundancy. We might cover a couple things that you heard on Friday, but good, because you can let it sink in, and then it's a good reminder for you to pick up the book. John, that tells me a lot. When I got to that point, I kind of laughed, I chuckled, and I scratched my head a little bit. And I said, why doesn't the media ever talk like this, like you did?
Well, you know, I suppose to some extent there might be certain types of stories that are more newsworthy than others. I mean, when I talk about these things, my central concern is what saves or costs the most lives. You know, what is the net effect? And the media, to a large extent, they're more interested in kind of what
bleeds. What bleeds. And John, I'm going to have to, I want to apologize. I just was told we've got 30 seconds, and I apologize for, I should have carried us into the break, and I wasn't paying attention. I got so worked up talking about this. I want to continue that line of questioning, why the media doesn't tell us the plain facts like John Lott did here, and I apologize again for that. We'll be back with Dr. John Lott for the remainder of the hour. We've got him for the hour, so plenty of time to have this discussion with John Lott. The book, The War on Guns. We'll be right back.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine. Get a gun and master its use. The self-defense shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA self-defense shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hillary Clinton plans on riding into the White House on the backs of women, but this won't be the first time she used women to get ahead. Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made.
Say that again.
Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made. If you're a woman, don't pay attention to what Hillary Clinton says. Pay attention to what she pays. Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Say that again.
Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Paid for by Ameripac. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Expansion Industries is a national ammunition supply and sales company based in the Mid-Atlantic region that provides bulk sales of quality target ammunition and reloading supplies. Buy 1,000 rounds today and receive free shipping on your order. Visit Expansion Industries online at exp-ind.com and save today. We're a family-owned and faith-based company in the heart of Virginia. It's about freedom. exp-ind.com. Expansion Industries.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
This is Armed American Radio.
Doesn't help to have guns owned by only good people because bad people still get them.
Yeah, that's exactly why we need it.
Now, back to the man defending your Second Amendment rights,
Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I told you it was a long, Freedom Never Takes a Break. I was with the amazing group at Georgia Carry for the annual convention over the weekend. Got to MC that event now for the, I think it's a fourth time over the last few years, and a wonderful group of people. A.W.R. Hawkins was the keynote speaker. So needless to say, we had a lot of great conversation. It's been a very long weekend, and I do apologize. I got tripped up on the clock, and I didn't mean to cut Dr. Lott off. Dr. Lott, welcome back to the program, my friend. I'll let you continue that thought. We were, of course, talking about the bathtubs, drowning deaths, and so forth. And the media just doesn't seem to give us those numbers, even though it's a child, because it's always about the child. But they just don't seem to do it, and you were explaining why.
Right. Well, I mean, I think there are lots of things that can explain the differences here. But one important thing is just kind of what's newsworthy. A dead body on the ground is more important than, let's say, somebody who's brandished a gun and watched a criminal run away. The vast majority of defensive gun uses, you know, if you simply have somebody brandishing a gun to go and stop an attack, might not be considered as newsworthy. But, you know, you got to count all those different types of stories if you're concerned about trying to save the most lives. Early in the war on guns, I have an example of mass public shootings around the country which have been stopped by concealed carry permit holders. And one of the things that's clear when you go and find those stories, I mean, these are stories where police or sheriffs or prosecutors have said that permit holders have saved multiple lives. And that is, you know, they only got local news coverage. I mean, some of these dramatic stories may have only gotten like one local news outlet to go and talk about them. Yet it's clear if the permit holder hadn't been there to go and stop these crimes, it would have gotten national news coverage because many people would have died. So you have examples like, volunteer fire department in South Carolina, where they were having Children's Day, giving kids rides on fire trucks and giving them ice cream and having games. And an attacker came there, started firing his rifle. Fortunately, there were two of the volunteer firemen who had permits to carry concealed handguns, and they were able to go and stop the attack. You know, you have a case where an Uber driver in Chicago last year had just dropped off a fare. There was a man on a sidewalk. Yes, a gang member had started firing his gun at people. The Uber driver got out of his car and was able to wound the attacker and stop him on this busy sidewalk in Chicago. You know, you have cases like at a liquor store in Conway, Georgia, where a man had come in, started firing inside the store, had killed two people. Fortunately, there was a permit holder that was walking by outside, and he heard the shots, came in, traded shots with the killer there. The killer ran away. And, you know, it's just another example where the sheriff said that there was no doubt in his mind that multiple lives were saved by the permit holder there. The thing is, in that case, there was even video of it. Right. And I thought for sure that they would go and get national coverage, but I couldn't get the national media interested in doing the story. And so, in that case, they told me that they thought it would be political if they were to go and cover that. But surely, if the person hadn't been there and people had died, more people had died, then it would have gotten coverage.
Yeah, I guess we could twist that around and flip it back and say, I guess it could also be considered political that they don't cover it. I mean, a case could be made for that, too. So, yeah, the bias is crazy. And before I move in a different direction with you, I do want to go back to that bathtub real quick because you mentioned here, I guess this kind of ties together with what we're talking about here and those other stories that don't get coverage. When we know about them, I used a firearm to defend my life. There was no police report made. I went home alive that day, and I became one, you know, statistic a number of years ago of those people that use a firearm, never have to pull the trigger, and live to tell about it. But in these cases, when we go back to the children, because it's all the left is all, it's always about the children, and you make some statements in here about, you go back, I believe it was a Walmart incident you're talking about in April of 2016. The AP covering a case where a mom dropped her purse inside, or a child got into the purse, if I remember the story correctly, and the woman's 2-year-old daughter suffered a superficial wound. Here it is, and was expected to be fine. In less than 24 hours, the story was picked up by over 44 different news organizations, including Fox News. It's hard to think of any other product, you say, that produced a minor injury attracting equal national attention. Yet when we flip it back, like these stories that you tell here at the beginning of your book, the media's, it is titled "The Media's Puzzling Missing Pieces." It is quite astonishing. So it clearly points out the bias that exists, and I think it's important that we do point that out, and again make that case that it, you know, can be flipped backwards, if you will, that it's just as political not to cover the stuff. All right, John, on page 4, I think it's very important. You start out with some poll numbers going back to January of 2016 by Investors Business Daily. And I think this is important, just like we discussed on the daytime show, that found that by 52 to 42% margin, Americans believe that gun ownership is more likely to increase public safety than gun control is to keep guns out of the hands of criminals. If that's the case, why is the left seemingly moving in the opposite direction when your research clearly shows opposite from what it is they're trying to push?
Well, to me, one of the interesting things is how that percent that you're talking about has changed over time. There's a Gallup poll, for example, that indicates in 2000, only about 35% of Americans thought that owning a gun in the home made them safer. And by the end of 2014, it had gone up to 63%. That's a huge change, and it matches the changes in people's views about whether or not to push for more gun control. As people view guns as helping to make them safer, they've become more opposed to additional gun control. The thing is, Bloomberg and others have seen this too, and so they realize that in order to win, they just can't focus on the legislative debate. What's happened is you've had Bloomberg and George Soros and others spending literally hundreds of millions of dollars to go and try to change kind of the underlying facts, to go and have studies done that can support their positions. And when they do these studies, I mean, if talk about a case of massive media bias, when they go and do these studies, they get thousands literally of news stories around the country within a week or two after the study's done, completely uncritical studies. I mean, one can only imagine if the NRA tried to go and fund studies, what type of coverage it would get. It would get zero.
What coverage it did get would be completely off the chart as opposed to what it gets from Bloomberg, because they take everything out without questioning. We're getting ready to take a break, so I'll stop it right there. And one of the things that Bloomberg has been very effective at, along with Soros, they understand, John, as you're just telling us, perception is reality. And that's what gives us the statistics, for example, from the left, that 90% of Americans support or agree on background checks and so forth. We'll continue the discussion on background checks with John Lott, the book, The War on Guns. Get it at Amazon or anywhere else you buy books. We'll be back. Hi, it's Mark, and I'm sure you know I'm a proud supporter of our Second Amendment right to bear arms. That's also why I'm a member of the USCCA. In fact, I'm member number 32, one of the first there was, and it's the USCCA whose sole purpose is protecting responsibly armed Americans like you and me. And right now, the USCCA is giving you the chance to win the gun you've had your eye on for years with their Dream Gun Giveaway. 10 lucky winners will receive $1,500 to purchase any gun they want. So what gun is calling your name? Maybe
maybe it's a classic handgun. Maybe you're thinking about a brand new rifle or shotgun for hunting season. Or maybe it's your very first gun that you buy to protect your loved ones. There are no restrictions. You can pick any gun, any brand, in any caliber. Just visit WinDreamGun.com to enter today. And remember, since they're drawing 10 winners, you have 10 chances to win. Your entry to win your dream gun is quick, simple, and free. Just visit WinDreamGun.com right now. That's WinDreamGun.com right now.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com. The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
This upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. Freedom never took a break this weekend. The Georgia Carry Convention was great. We're going to talk about it with A.W.R. Hawkins. And I'm going to see if I can get him to remember as much as he can about his about 30-minute talk last night to the organization, because I want you to hear it. It's something you need to hear. That should have been published. It's on tape, and hopefully we can get that in print for you. Very powerful words coming up from A.W.R. Hawkins. I'm talking with John Lott right now. The book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. You can pick it up anywhere books are sold. I ask that you do it. Buy two, send one to somebody. Buy three, give one away. Keep one copy for yourself. I'm using one as a textbook now. It's already marked up, so I'm going to have to pick up another couple copies for sure. But this is really powerful information. You can pick it up if you are so inclined. You go to my Facebook page, Armed American Radio on Facebook, and you can click on the link. You'll see it down there where I link directly to Amazon where you can buy it. And, John, welcome back to the program.
When we talked on Friday, I think I mentioned that Chapter 10 was one of my favorite chapters in the book. And it was the chapter on mass public shootings, The Myths Debunked. And I want to jump back to that for a minute because we can use it to go forward when we talk about background checks and gun-free zones. We can kind of segue into all of those from there. Simply because there is a section in the book in Chapter 10, and it is titled Gun-Free Zones. And let me go back to the trace from Bloomberg. We were talking about the media, the anti-gun media. Commentary. This is a piece from June 18, 2015. Commentary. Gun rights advocates say places that ban guns attract mass shooters. The data says they're wrong. And in this piece, they say this about you. They talk about, you at first glance, mass public shootings. Let me see, where is it? I've got so many pages open. John R. Lott is by a significant margin the most prolific and outspoken researcher on gun-free zones in the U.S. He's the author of More Guns, Less Crime, and a vociferous opponent of gun laws, having frequently testified before Congress in favor of expanding right to carry policy. Lott abhors the idea of gun-free zones and has made the ambitious claim on numerous occasions that, with just two exceptions, every public mass shooting in the U.S. since 1950, at least since 1950, has taken place where citizens had banned guns. Can you tell us a little bit about what your research shows versus what they say? Because they say it's statistical malpractice from you, quoting from the trace, that you exclude many mass shooting incidents in which the shooter was committing an additional felony. Can you explain this?
Right. Well, I mean, I use the FBI's traditional definition of mass public shootings. Their definition is that four or more people killed in a public place that has not been part of some other crime, like a gang fight. And the reason why the FBI defined it that way, and I've defined it that way, is that we're trying to get at the types of shootings in a school or in a movie theater or someplace else where the point of the crime is to go and kill people, to kill as many people as they can. These are the types of stories that grip our attention, that it gets the news media to be covering them all day long. And, that's the reason why they're defined that way. I mean, Bloomberg's people at the Trace, I mean, the Trace is set up by Bloomberg, can go and define it any way they want to define it. But I use the FBI definition because I think there's a good reason why it was set up that way. And, because I want to get at these particular types of cases. But, you have people like Mother Jones, whatever, they use their own definitions, kind of mix things up, don't use it even consistently because they want to try to go and make some political point. What I tried to show in these numbers is if you use the same definition in the United States as you use for other countries around the world, the United States is not unique in terms of these mass public shootings. Europe, during the Obama administration, the European Union, has actually had about 50% more casualties per capita than we've had here in the United States over that same period of time. And not only is Europe bad, but the rest of the world is much worse. The United States has about 4.6% of the world's population, but I believe that at most they have about 4.2% of the deaths from mass public shootings. And so, you constantly hear people like the president go and make claims that the United States is unique. And the reason why he wants to do that is because he pushes things like European gun control laws. Well, what can he say if it turns out that Europe is at least as bad, depending on how you look at it, or worse? Takes the air out of his claims.
Let's talk about Australia briefly. And I guess, let me quickly back up. I guess what I can take away from this is that they use whatever definition they want at the Trace and at Mother Jones and others and left-wing blogs and so forth to define mass shootings in a way that deviates from what the FBI uses, which is what you use, which is where you draw your conclusions. Is that a fair statement, a fair assessment?
Right. I mean, they don't even deal with why the FBI has used the definition that it does.
Right.
They just go and attack me rather than talking about where I got it from because they don't like what it shows. And, you know, the thing is, when you look at people like the Trace or others, or Michael Bloomberg's other publications, every town has put out on mass public shootings, they're just really careless with the numbers. I mean, they make these types of mistakes time after time, and it's disappointing that the media gives them the time of day. But, you know, they'll go and depend on newspaper accounts of a story to see whether it's a gun-free zone. If the newspaper doesn't mention it, then they assume guns were allowed. If, one thing that I've tried to make clear over and over again is that the media just refuses to even acknowledge that gun-free zones exist in virtually any of their stories. I mean, there's so many things that they report that are difficult to find out. You know, what gun was used? How did he obtain the gun? The media will make claims about that within a couple hours, often turn out to be wrong. But the simplest thing that could be reported is whether or not these attacks occurred in a gun-free zone, whether there's signs posted in front, what the law is. You know, like Orlando, was just taking a couple minutes for them to figure that out. Instead, they made other statements about the shooting that turned out to be wrong. But yet, even though it's the simplest fact to find out, they just refuse to go and ever mention. This entire debate would be completely different if even some of the time the media would go and point out that we've had yet another mass public shooting in places where victims couldn't defend it. But I want to make one thing clear. There, in the war on guns, there's several different types of evidence that I provide. One is just the statements from these killers. Time after time, whether it's in diaries or video statements or other writings, these killers make it clear why they picked the targets that they did. They pick places where victims can't defend themselves because they want to kill as many people as possible, and they know the longer that it takes for someone with a gun to arrive on the scene, the more people they're going to be able to kill. You know, there was a case just a few months ago that wasn't in the book because it occurred after the cases that I list in the war on guns, and it goes and was in Detroit. A father was concerned about his son's involvement in ISIS, had alerted the FBI. And they have a chilling transcript of a phone conversation where this young man was plotting to attack one of the largest churches in the Detroit area. He had cased the place, had found that it had large turnout each Sunday for services. But the thing that he emphasized was that he had checked, and the church did not allow people to carry permanent concealed handguns on church property. And in chilling detail, this young man explains why that's important, because it would allow him to kill lots of people before somebody could defend themselves. So they have to ignore these public statements by these killers. And then,
well, John, that would require something from the media that they're not giving us. That would require a certain level of honesty and objectivity, neither of which apply to them at this stage of the game. When we come back, I want to read the actual quote. I have that in front of me. Chilling stuff indeed. Then we'll go on to Australia and wrap up with Dr. John Lott. The book, The War on Guns. Go buy it if you haven't done it while you've been listening. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm sure you know by now I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. They are by far the leaders in providing the absolute best education, training, and a tenacious legal defense for self-reliant Americans like you and me. Now, it's the USCCA's mission to help responsibly armed Americans like you become the best protector and defender of your loved ones that you can be. And folks, the USCCA has something exciting going on right now. I don't want you to miss it. Now, for just a few days more, the USCCA is giving away $10,000 worth of free ammo. Now, can you imagine sharpening your skills at the range without worrying about running out of ammo? Now, instead of just one winner, they're going to draw four, which means you have four chances to win free ammo for a year. Now, visit their website, defendfamily.com, to enter today. Now, take your personal preparedness to the next level with the help of the USCCA, and you can enter to win $10,000 worth of ammo. It's quick, it's simple, it's free. Just go to the website, defendfamily.com, right now. One word, defendfamily.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I'm sure you know I'm a proud supporter of our Second Amendment right to bear arms. That's also why I'm a member of the USCCA. In fact, I'm member number 32, one of the first there was, and it's the USCCA whose sole purpose is protecting responsibly armed Americans like you and me. And right now, the USCCA is giving you the chance to win the gun you've had your eye on for years with their Dream Gun Giveaway. 10 lucky winners will receive $1,500 to purchase any gun they want. So what gun is calling your name? Maybe it's a classic handgun. Maybe you're thinking about a brand new rifle or shotgun for hunting season. Or maybe it's your very first gun that you buy to protect your loved ones. There are no restrictions. You can pick any gun, any brand, in any caliber. Just visit WinDreamGun.com to enter today. And remember, since they're drawing 10 winners, you have 10 chances to win. Your entry to win your dream gun is quick, simple, and free. Just visit WinDreamGun.com right now. That's WinDreamGun.com right now.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, USCCAOnAir.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website USCCAOnAir.com. USCCAOnAir.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting USCCAOnAir.com. Don't miss out.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeThereProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeThereProtector.com.
You're tuned in
to Armed American Radio.
Those who oppose any common sense gun control or gun safety measures have a pretty effective way of ginning up fear that somehow the federal government's about to take all your guns away.
Look, if you're a Democrat pulling the lever for gun grabbers, you're no friend of mine.
Protecting your right to bear arms.
Here is Armed American Radio's Mark Walters.
In the book, War, the War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies, John Lott lays out for you the facts that, as you're hearing us discuss, the media simply won't give you. And I alluded to that at the end of the close of the last segment when I said it would require for them to do what John is asking, that you just can't get the media to do it. They won't do it. It's not because, well, it's, you know why it is, because they don't want to. It would require them to be honest. And it would require them to be honestly objective, of which they are neither. And that is proof positive of the bias. This is not rocket science here to figure this out. John was talking about, John, I welcome you back to the book you were talking about, or to the program, talking about your book, The War on Guns. One need only listen to the February 2016 wiretap of an ISIS supporter who was planning an attack on one of the biggest churches in Detroit, Khalil Abu Rayyan. Explained his choice of target this way, and these are the exact words you were talking about. A lot of people go there. Plus, people are not allowed to carry guns in church. Plus, it would make the news. Everybody would have heard. And as you said, fortunately, Abu Rayyan's father alerted the FBI. So having said that, let me switch gears here in the last segment and wrap up with Australia, something that Hillary Clinton has said she wants to emulate. and then background checks, which is very high on their list. So let's start with Australia. I've actually played the clip here on the program many times when an audience member asked Hillary Clinton the following question. Recently, Australia managed to get away or take away tens of thousands, millions of handguns, and in 1 year they were all gone. Can we do that? And why, if we can't, why can't we? And she closed out with saying that certainly the Australian example is worth looking at. Thank you. She said much more, but that's how it closed out. Has Australia worked for the Australians? Is it something we should emulate here?
Right. Yeah, well, Hillary Clinton was actually pointing to both Australia and the UK as countries we should look at. And the UK did have a complete ban on handguns. I mean, you pretty much can only own shotguns now in the UK. And you saw a big increase in murder rates, 50% increase in murder rates after the handgun ban in the UK. I don't think most people know exactly what happened in Australia or understand. They did have a big gun buyback. They bought back about a third of the guns that have been legally owned in the country at that time. But it didn't ban the guns completely. What it did was it required you to have additional licensing and other rules in order to get guns. And slowly over time, people went out and bought guns again. By 2010, the gun ownership rate in Australia was back close to where it had been prior to the buyback. And if gun control advocates are correct, what you should have seen then is when they had the buyback of about a third of guns, you should have seen a big sudden drop in murders or in suicides, and then over time a gradual increase. Instead, you see nothing of the sort. Firearm murders and firearm suicides, for example, had been falling for about a decade and a half prior to the buyback, and they continue to fall after the buyback at an even slightly slower rate of decline than it was beforehand. There's no big sudden drop and then an increase. And if you compare it to other things like non-firearm suicides, you know, those over the immediate period after the buyback actually fell by exactly the same amount as firearm suicides had fallen. So it's very hard in many ways to see anything that's consistent with what they would claim. You look at armed robbery rates. Armed robbery rates actually did the exact opposite of what they would have predicted. Instead of a sharp drop and then a gradual increase, you actually saw a sharp increase and then a gradual drop back to where it was prior to the 1996 buyback. Right. And so, you know, I challenge anybody to look at those numbers and see a pattern that's consistent with what gun control advocates would predict.
No, they won't. They won't, because they'll simply prove you right. But isn't that the case? Don't we see that here in Chicago? Doesn't that prove the same point? I mean, here we have the most heavily gun-controlled city that now is just almost a virtual war zone.
Right. Well, I mean, it's important that people be able to go and defend themselves. I think a lot of, you know, in Chicago, you know, you're allowed to get a concealed carry license and stuff, but it's very difficult, you know, like $450 or so to go through the process to get a concealed carry permit, to pay the fee and to get the training. And they make it so that you can't get training within the city of Chicago and you have difficulties carrying your permanent concealed handgun with you or even in a box, just to get training in areas outside the city if you go on public transportation. So they really have made it difficult for poor individuals especially to be able to go and get a concealed handgun permit. But, you know, the thing is, in Chicago, there are other things that are going on. You have Rob Manuel. He cut the police department at first. He eliminated a lot of the gang units that were there. He moved detective bureaus from the high crime rate areas of the city to low crime rate areas. I mean, if you're going to put police any place, you need to put them where the crime is. And, you know, for political promises and other things, Mayor Emanuel did the exact opposite. So there's lots of things that are going on in Chicago, and it's just kind of a mess.
Yeah, it really is a mess. John, we've got about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes left. I want to let you know, the listener, The war on guns, arming yourself against gun control lies. This is John's best work yet, in my opinion. I've read them all. This is the book you want to have in your personal library. This is the book you want to be able to refer to when those, you know, dopey family members who don't get it have questions and you want to give them an honest answer. It's right here, and you can point them to all the facts, the figures, and everything. It's right here in the book. So, John, I'll close out with a question here.
There's so much at stake right now. I wrote the book because I figured somebody had to put down in one place the answers to the different claims that are being made, you know, whether it be background checks or others, so they just understood what's at stake here and how these laws are being set up primarily to go and disarm law-abiding good Americans, and it's particularly the most vulnerable people in our society who are being disarmed by these different laws.
Yeah, it's sad. We've got about 60 seconds. Let me just ask you to wrap this up in 60 seconds. Chapter 4, I'll ask the heading of the chapter, the title of the chapter, in the form of a question. Why don't licenses, regulations, and background checks help? About 60 seconds.
Well, they want to use the background checks to try to create a national registry. But the thing is, you know, we can look at places like Hawaii or Washington, D.C. or Chicago or Canada. Registration licensing just doesn't solve crime. In theory, if a gun is left at a crime scene and it's traced back to the criminal, you can go and solve the crime. But the problem is, one, crime guns are virtually never left at a crime scene. When they are, it's because the criminal's either been killed or seriously wounded. In the few cases that it is left there, it's almost never registered to anybody, let alone the person who committed the crime. And the couple times it is registered to somebody, it's not registered to the criminal there. And so they spend huge amounts of police time doing registration licensing, time that could have been spent doing good policing activity that we know works. Instead, they wasted on something that really the only point of it is just to make it costly for people to own guns.
You just nailed it. We're going to close it out right there. John Lott, the war on guns, arming yourself against gun control lies. What you just heard him say was criminals don't follow the law. It's that simple. John, amazing work. The best you've done yet, in my opinion. This one's going to be tough to beat, but I know you'll try. The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. Available at Amazon and anywhere you buy books. You need a copy, buy two. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never leave your cave without this information. The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies from John Lott. We'll be back with A.W.R. Hawkins from Breitbart News right after this.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom
on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights. If you'd like to contact the show or get more information, it would be great to hear from you. Just go online and visit armedamericanradio.com.
That's armedamericanradio.com.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.